Welcome to the College Football Bros, the podcast that's ready for Big Ten football. And now, here are your hosts, Michael, Ryan, and Trey Newman.
Welcome to the College Football Bros podcast. I am Michael Newman, and I'm joined by the middlest brother.
It's me, Ryan Newman.
And by the oldest brother.
And that's me, Trey Newman.
All right. Before we get to our takeaways from week 7 and make our week 8 betting picks, a couple things to get to. The first is a quick word from our sponsor, MyBookie. So between the NFL, college football, and MLB playoffs, there's no shortage of games to watch. And with thousands of lines available on all of your favorite sporting events, you can turn your game day into a payday with MyBookie. If you like betting big favorites, try a Moneyline Parlay to get a little bit bigger payout. Or if you're like me and prefer the upset specials, try your shot on an underdog. And if you appreciate MyBookie's service, try betting Nebraska straight up against Ohio State just to give the book some free money.
Pretty much.
So sign up at MyBookie, and when you do, use the promo code CFBROS to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start on your winning season. So again, that's promo code CFBROS, all caps, for you to claim your bonus when you make your first deposit. So with stacked UFC cards, presidential prop bets, all the major sports and more, sign up today to begin your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. All right, and now let's get to some 5-star reviews. We've left these hanging a little bit. They've come in over the past month, but let's get caught up, Trey.
Yeah, we got one from GoPokes89. Just hooked on y'all about a month ago and been very impressed ever since. The draft a couple weeks ago was excellent. Great to listen to on a long run up here in Alaska. Ride 'em, wow. Cowboys, and yeah, Alaska. We span the U.S. He says, ride 'em, Cowboys, and never forget that the great Barry Sanders set 34 NCAA records during his Heisman winning season. I did not realize it was 34, but that's pretty remarkable.
That's a lot of research. Could have seen that.
His highlights, though, are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hey, Alaska, where? I wonder where in Alaska. I'm curious. I wonder if you could let us know somehow. If you can, let us know. What, on Twitter, maybe?
Yeah, sure. Wherever. Twitter at CFB Bros.
I want to go to Alaska.
Plug our social media. DM us on Instagram at CFB Bros.
I'd be there. I want to go there. The next one here is from Nev number one. He says, love it. And he says he loves the show. Then he gives like a little bit of a preview of his 2020 SEC schedule prediction. He kind of wanted to know our thoughts. We're getting his thoughts a little few weeks into the season here. Well, he did have Bama, Georgia, Florida, and A&M all kind of at the top, so which is just looking kind of head on here. There's no nothing crazy there. And he did have Florida losing at A&M, which was a good call. Georgia, one loss was going to be at Bama. That already happened. So, yeah, good stuff there. So, put a lot of thought into that, you can tell.
Awesome. Thanks for that review. We got Eka Trosik. Not sure, but they say, love the show. As a recent convert to CFB, I find this pod the most enjoyable for knowledge, information, and fun. I really appreciate the brothers' sense of humor and their level-headed reactions to developing news and how COVID has affected CFB. They also do a great job of being fair-minded about all teams, no matter who they are personally rooting for. Keep it up, guys, and roll tide.
I hate Bama. God, Saban sucks.
Oh, wow.
I wanted Georgia to win so badly.
Well, that's that you just no. No, that was a good review, though. I appreciate that.
That was awesome.
We try to be not homers.
Oh, yeah. Very unbiased. All right. We got one from Troy Noble that's titled Smooth. Easy listening on college football. Very informative and passionate. Enjoy their pods. Thank you, Troy.
All right, and our last one's from Ohio State Fan 101. This was left a couple days ago. Justin Fields was his subject title there, and he asks, who is y'all's top three Heisman favorites? Well, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, and everybody else.
Yeah, well, Mac Jones. Throw Mac Jones in there.
Oh, that's fair. Sorry. Yeah. Mac Jones. Yeah.
And probably, and yeah, Trevor Lawrence right now is like a odds-on favorite. He's minus 175, something like that, depending on where you look. But
if it's not one of those three guys, it would be pretty darn surprising.
I would take those three against the field for sure.
Yeah. Trask? Yeah. Come on, Trask. You can do it.
Bama is so hard because, like, in any other year, they could have three guys that are contending, because Waddle and Najee Harris is putting together a really good season, and Mac Jones, it's like, it's amazing.
Game helps.
All three of those guys I looked are in the top six of in terms of odds.
It's unbelievable. Obviously, and like Harris Devontae and, Smith isn't a slouch, but he's just not quite up there.
Yeah, Munchie now, like
Mechie.
I call him Munchie.
Okay, I know you do. Let's get to our week seven takeaways. We're a bit late this week, so not going to give necessarily a full breakdown of week seven, but I actually think this might end up being better. Let us know if
if
you like the format we're going with here, and maybe it's something we could use again. So each of us have three takeaways based on what we saw last week. Trey, why don't you go first? Give us one.
Yeah, so this was from, I believe, the Friday night game. BYU, they got their first solid resume win. They beat Houston 43-26. Houston, we all like Houston this year, and they were actually up 26-14 late in the third before BYU's offensive and defensive line really took over, and they just ended up dominating the line of scrimmage late in the game, and they picked up a good road win. We all know, we've talked about Zach Wilson, 400 yards, four touchdowns, another good performance.
Alex Lataki's onside kick too that they got for BYU. I know they didn't score on that ensuing possession, but still, you gain an extra possession, that helps. And yeah, so that was a good call. For me, my first takeaway is that Coastal Carolina and their win at Louisiana. That was very, very impressive when they won 30-27 on a last second field goal. But I think my main thing here with the Shants is Grayson McCall, just the freshman quarterback. I mean, he's becoming one of the best quarterbacks in the G5 right now, if not, you know, the whole country. That he needs to get a little bit more respect now after they take down a ranked undefeated team that won at Iowa State earlier in the year. So he's averaging over 10 yards per attempt. He's got 11 touchdowns, just one pick. He rushes for about 50 yards a game too. And he's got the Shants ranked, first time ever, of course. I mean, it's unreal. So he has been, for a guy that we didn't really anticipate starting, or at least pretty much nobody did. There's one or two people that had him as under the radar, I guess. But I mean, we all just thought they had two guys that started last year that came back. And so for him to take over, play the way he has as a freshman, he's legit, man. The Shants are for real.
They are. Okay. My first takeaway came from the biggest game of the weekend, Alabama, Georgia. And it's just that even without Tua, Alabama's offense is every bit as good as last year, maybe even a little bit better, possibly. That remains to be seen. But
and losing some great wide receivers.
Exactly, yeah. But that's the thing, because they lost Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. Yeah, but so you thought, okay, they've got Devonta Smith and Jaylen Waddle. Those are two really good guys, but who's that third guy going to be? And Munchie, according to Ryan, has taken over. So they've got... yeah, probably still the best receiving core in the country. Mac Jones was 24 of 32, 417 yards and four touchdowns against the best defense in the country. He did have one pick, but he was hit as he threw. So
that was like the first play of the game.
Yeah, it was. And then Stetson Bennett threw a pick right back. So
This game was kind of weird because when I watched it, back a little bit the other night. I caught it on CBS Sports Network or whatever. And I keep forgetting that because Bama really pulled away, but it was 27-24 late in the third quarter and Georgia was driving, but Bennett threw a pick. If that doesn't happen, you never know what could have happened in the fourth, but Bama flexed their muscle.
Half was back and forth. It was super fun to watch. So, I think though it's Georgia's offense. I mean, I guess they did hang around for a long time, but it's going to need to get better. If
I agree.
We expect there to be a rematch, and
I mean, Jamie Newman,
they
want to
hang for a full game with Bama. I think they're gonna need to improve for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, they were not
Florida or something.
Yeah, they were not expecting to go with Stetson Bennett this year. That's just limits them a little bit.
Yep. All right, my next takeaway is UCF. Their chances at an AAC title are getting dimmer and dimmer. They already have two losses in the conference now. They played Memphis this past weekend. Memphis came back from a late double digit deficit to win 50-49. The defense for UCF, they just can't get stops when needed. Dylan Gabriel threw for 601 yards, 5 touchdowns. They put up 798 yards of offense, so 800 yards of offense. They still lost. Brady White, he's incredible, though. 7 touchdowns of his own. They were converting on multiple clutch fourth down in the second half. So Memphis was able to squeak it out. So they're still right in the thick of things in that race. But UCF, not looking great right now.
Yep. That was a crazy game. How about the altercation with the kicker? Come on.
It's funny when people get mad at kickers for missing a field goal. It's like, unless he's been slacking in practice or something, it's like, what do you, he wanted to make it. He tried.
Come on. What are you going to do? That's why I coach basketball, like high school basketball, and I'm kind of in the line of thinking, like, what good is it going to for me to do to yell at a guy for like turning the ball over? Like, as long as if it's just like an effort type thing, like he's not hustling or something, okay, then I can yell at him. Like, if he's not hustling back on defense, if he like turns it over, like he tries to make a play and just messes up or something,
He should have thought better, Ryan.
I mean, like it's just bad. Like there was no benefit to it. I remember as a player, it's like, why? I tried. What do you want me to do? Like, sorry. man. I don't know. I'm just not a fan. Anyways. Alrighty. So my second takeaway, would be, so a lot of the offseason hype here and the 2-0 start, kind of the first 2.5 games coming to a screeching halt here for Tennessee. They hung with Georgia the first half, so that was kind of their third game, but then it got real bleak in the second half. And then last week, dominated 34-7 by Kentucky in Knoxville. Not a good look there, obviously, for Jeremy Pruitt. And of course, they'll most likely lose this week since they play Alabama. So now they're looking at 3 straight losses. Then they do go to Arkansas after that, which is looking like that should be probably a really good game. So that's going to be a vital game, because I think they still have like Georgia maybe on the schedule. Or they still have some pretty tough teams coming up. So I wasn't expecting them to go in and win like 7 games this year, but you know, they were looking pretty darn good there, and it's just losing 34-7 to Kentucky.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Well, and it's just, and Garantano didn't really, they even pulled him, and it just,
they ran the ball
that next step.
Yeah. It was just, he just was bad, like the passing game. So that's, you know, they had about the same total yards. They just had a lot of turnovers and just messy, sloppy play, but that's rough.
All right. My next takeaway, another struggling quarterback in the SEC, Bo Nix, has not taken the sophomore leap that he needed to take. Against South Carolina last week, around 50% completions and 3 interceptions in a 30-22 loss. And we talked, of course, about him all offseason, how he really wasn't very good last year, but he was a freshman, so it was kind of understandable. And even though we were maybe relatively low on him, we thought he'd take a step forward. Who wouldn't? I mean, it's
at least a little
more year, like,
you know.
Yeah, at least a little bit. And so far, it doesn't look like he has at all. He looks basically the same as last year, arguably worse so far. So it's not good.
No, it's disappointing. I'm going to stick in the SEC as well, and we got to give respect to Sam Pittman in Arkansas. Yeah. Ryan, you kind of alluded to it earlier. The Razorbacks, they've, in my eyes, have officially kind of overachieved so far. They knocked off Ole Miss this past weekend, 33-21. They held that mighty Ole Miss offense in check for the most part. They forced 7 turnovers.
That's crazy.
But Arkansas, they're 2-2, and if they weren't jobbed at Auburn, they'd be sitting at 3-1, and with their only loss to Georgia. So, and even so, right now, your two losses are Georgia and Auburn was on the road. Like, it's not too bad. They still have a couple tough games left in the SEC, of course, but the Razorbacks, they're not total pushovers, so give credit to them.
100%. Yeah. They are maybe one of the most improved teams in the country. I've been very impressed with the on-field performance from them. Felipe Franks has been good. I was somewhat high on Franks, but just I didn't think they had enough support around him to
Barry
play
Odom.
Like they are.
Barry Odom with that defense has been
true.
Very impressive.
True. Barry Odom's been very good. So, yeah,
good
that's
staff.
Impressive stuff from Sam Pittman, who I've proven me wrong as far as our preseason prediction. So yeah, it's good. I like Arkansas. I like when they're good. I hope they
Big Suey.
Yeah, Big Suey, man. All right. My final, it's my turn, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So my third and final takeaway, North Carolina is not ready for the prime time yet. You know, they got up to the top five ranking. They were looking like, oh my goodness, they're giving playoff contention here, but a little too Jekyll and Hyde. They obviously lost a pretty rough game to Florida State. They got down in a huge hole right away and made a valiant comeback, but just not enough. They played terrible for that first half against Syracuse. You know, the BC game was neck and neck. And then Virginia Tech game was just, that North Carolina Virginia Tech game was weird. It was just like, they got a huge lead. Then Virginia Tech came back. Then they got a huge lead again. And it was just, you know, had Hendon Hooker played the entire game, that one might have been different. So, yeah, I just don't think North Carolina is quite legit yet.
That's fair. Mine kind of, my final takeaway has to do with that a little bit. It's the gap between Clemson and the rest of the ACC has not narrowed as much as we thought a few weeks ago. Because you got North Carolina losing at FSU, Notre Dame struggling with Louisville last week, albeit. Well,
of course, kind of them dominating Miami.
What's that?
And of course, Clemson dominating Miami.
Exactly. That head-to-head kind of knocked Miami out of the, hey, could they beat them?
Yeah.
And then I still have some hope for my Hokies with Hendon Hooker, but their defense, you know, of course, got shredded by North Carolina a couple weeks ago. So Clemson has extended that gap in the last couple weeks, especially with their very, very rude performance against Georgia Tech last weekend. That was, it's just mean.
And then, yeah, they've been kind of rude. Been trying to score a late touchdown against Miami.
Oh, I wasn't even referring to that, but
That's like, why are you still running? Like, take a knee. I don't know. It was.
Well, they ran up tempo too in that Miami.
That's what I mean. Like, it was you know,
I flexed in their muscle.
I heard that maybe Georgia Tech was doing some sort of like their workout or something on the field before the game. They were like lifting weights, something. I don't know. They took offense to it or something.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Impressive win for Clemson. All right. Week 8. We ready to get to our week 8 picks?
Do it.
Let's do it.
NC State at North Carolina. Tar Heels are favored 15. What do you think, Ryan?
Well, news of the day for NC State, of course, of the week. Devin Leary, broken fibula. So he's out 48 weeks. That is such a tough blow. For NC State, he was playing so well. Their offense was doing really, really good. One of the most improved units in the country. They were horrible last year. I think at least run the ball a little bit, but they could not pass. But he was awesome so far. He's out probably the rest of the year. He might be able to play in the bowl game. So that sucks, especially since we've seen Bailey Hockman come in and not look nearly as good. I mean, we'll see how he can do with a more consistent role here, but. You know, Devin Leary was playing so well, and they're 4-1. They're ranked. They got a big game here, of course, at North Carolina. It's too bad for NC State, but I'm going to go with the Tar Heels because of the fact that they don't have Devin Leary. I don't think the Hawkman's very good. You know, that pass last week, it was awfully lucky that he got a TD pass on. Should have been a pick. And NC State's defense isn't good. They give up over 31 points a game, so I think Sam Howell's going to have, you know, play lights out and put up 40-plus points and Hockman won't be able to keep up. So North Carolina for me.
Yeah. I mean, if NC State has any shot, Hockman's going to have to be able to move the ball downfield. But more importantly though, I think that their defense needs to step up. They're currently in the top 20 in sacks and they're going to need to pressure Sam Howell to generate a couple turnovers. The problem is they have to stop the run, and North Carolina has a two-headed monster, Michael Carter and Javonte Williams. Williams just had 119 yards and on only 18 carries last week against the Seminoles. I think the Tar Heels bounce back to get the cover, especially with Leary out.
Yeah, I'm going with you guys. And NC State, even though they're a good story, they're much better than last year, 4-1, like you say, ranked. They're probably not a legitimate top 25 team. Like if you look at the metrics, they're not even close. And they've had relatively easy schedule, won a couple coin flip games. So they're much better, but I don't think, you know, as good certainly as their ranking. And then that's what the point spread reflects. So, all right. Next game we have is Alabama minus 21.5 at Tennessee. Trey, what are your thoughts?
It's the third Saturday in October rivalry, playing on the fourth Saturday this year, of course. But these teams, we kind of alluded to it earlier. I think Ryan brought it up. They're just going in opposite directions. Tennessee, they've gotten smoked 2 weeks in a row. Don't really like the vibe surrounding Garantano and the Vols. But I will say, I think this line is a little inflated due to the recent results. So I'm going to take the Vols for that reason. That, you know, they got nothing to lose in this game. Bama's defense is still a hair leaky, so maybe Garantano can get it into Josh Palmer's hands. Eric Gray maybe could bust a few runs. Pruitt actually did say this week that all quarterbacks are getting reps, so I don't even know if Garantano is actually going to be the guy. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Have you lost complete hope in the Vols?
I mean, kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think... You know, maybe before the season, I may have thought, maybe there's an off chance that they could pull off the upset, you know, at home against Alabama if the O-line lives up to its billing, which I guess it sort of has, at least at times. But Garantano has just, I don't know, he continues to be inconsistent. And like you say, we're not even sure if he's going to be the starter this one or certainly play the whole game. So we could see Brian Maurer if he's healthy, maybe the true freshman Harrison Bailey. And I think that would be a tough game to be thrown into the fire. So kind of oddly, I think playing Garantano and just hoping you get good Garantano is the best chance to win this game, but I'm not sure that's what they're going to do. So I don't trust the Vols offense to keep up with Bama at all. So I'll lay the points.
Yeah, I agree with Michael. And as far as like Trey's question, have I lost faith in Tennessee? Not really, I guess. I mean, it's disappointing the last couple of results they've had, but they can turn it around. I mean, look what happened to them last year. I mean, they looked garbage. They lost to what, Georgia State and BYU early on. They were just like, everybody just riled on them and they thought they were done, and they go and rattle off 6 wins. I know they weren't incredible wins, but
yeah,
they turned it around. So, I mean, this is Bama. I'm not saying they're not going to win this game, but I'm not giving up on the Vols squeaking out a few more, maybe a couple quality wins the rest of the year. So, but this game, I don't think they can compete. I will take Bama, but you know, okay, there's still some life left in Tennessee for sure.
You make, I having more thought about it and hearing your thoughts, I agree with your sentiment on Tennessee, Ryan, especially because thinking about last week, like didn't Garantano start out with 2 pick-sixes in that game? I mean,
they were behind the chains pretty early.
Yeah, and so I actually think the score was probably misleading.
It was, because their yardage was the same. They just didn't really get dominated. They just 4-to-1 turnover ratio. That's going to kill you.
Yeah. So yeah. So they could still, you know, like you say, have a little bit of a run like last year.
Yeah.
Although
not starting this week. Next week maybe at Arkansas.
All right, next game we have here is Notre Dame -10 at Pitt. We're still not sure if Kenny Pickett is going to be back healthy, so it could be Joey Yellen, the transfer from ASU, getting the start again. He wasn't very good against Miami, but they still did get the cover, and I think they can kind of use the same formula as last week to cover against Notre Dame. Their D-line, of course, one of the best in the country against the run. So, you know, I mean, Notre Dame's going to be by far the best O-line they've gone up against, but I still think they can slow them down a little bit. And then offensively, I still kind of believe in Joey Yellen, maybe getting another week with first team reps. He got one game against a tough defense to get his feet wet. He's going up against another one, but
yeah,
maybe he could play a little better his second time out.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from on that. And I've kind of been high on Pitt, especially just because their defense, I think they can pretty much stay in most games. But for some reason, I'm taking Notre Dame here. I think it may just have something to do with Notre Dame's performance last week against Louisville, where they were just kind of stuck in mud and they couldn't quite get it going. I think this week, maybe that last week was kind of a little bit of a wake up call for their offense, especially like, hey, we need to pick it up. So I don't know. I think Notre Dame's going to come out with a little different energy, a little different juice coming up in this Pitt game. And I think they'll take control against a backup quarterback offense that's not very good. And I think they can have some success on the ground too with that great O-line. So I'd say Notre Dame wins by a couple touchdowns.
I agree with a lot of what you said, Ryan. You got one of the best O-lines against the best D-line, one of the best D-lines. That'll be a fun matchup to watch. And last week it was a gloomy day in South Bend. It was just kind of weird. I'll kind of chalk it up to every team has every good team has one of those kind of clunkers. But I will say we're going to learn a lot in this game about Tommy Reese's offense and see if it can produce against a good Pitt defense. Because if they kind of look like that 2 weeks in a row, it might become a trend.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we've got Iowa State at Oklahoma State. I'm excited about this.
Yeah,
game.
Big.
Cowboys are favored 3.5. The winner is going to become clearly the most likely team to make it to the Big 12 championship, if not the favorite to win it. But
yeah,
I think so there as well. What do you think here, Ryan?
Yeah, I can't wait for this one. This is great. It's good that both these teams, I'm glad that we're seeing a couple undefeated teams that aren't you're used to seeing. You know, it's not Texas
undefeated in the Big 12.
Oh, excuse me. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
So, huge game. Both unbeaten in the Big 12. Obviously, Iowa State's played one more game in the Big 12, so they're 3-0, and Oklahoma State's sitting at 2-0. So, Iowa State, if they win, they're like sitting super pretty 4-0, and they've already beaten Oklahoma, and they would have won at Okie State here, and so they would have some tough games already out of the way. But as far as Oklahoma State, it looks like Spencer Sanders will see him back in action. It's going to be alluded to that, but he also said Shane Illingworth will probably get some PT as well. So we'll probably see a little bit of a 2QB system, but I'm going to take Iowa State. It's been 3 weeks since the Cowboys have played. That's a long time to go between ball games. I know it's been 2 weeks for Iowa State, but you know, that's like a 1 week is different. 1 week off isn't different than a 2 weeks off in a row. So I think Iowa State will be a little more ready. And I just think Iowa State's defense is pretty good. They can slow down that Oklahoma State offense, which hasn't been very explosive this year. And Big 12, I'm telling you, all these teams are about equal. I've been saying it forever. Like, I'm gonna pretty much just take the points almost in every game. So taking the Cyclones.
I hear you. I totally hear you, especially on that, the 3 weeks in between games for Okie State. But I'm going to rely on the Pokes. Great defense thus far. I know their schedule has been pretty light, but they're tied for the national lead in yards per play allowed. Looking at the matchup, it's probably one of the best running back versus running back games you could have. Yeah, Chuba Hubbard and Breece Hall. And you mentioned that both quarterbacks might be playing for Okie State. I kind of maybe see that as a positive and think the Cowboys will be able to slow down Purdy and Hall just enough.
Okay, I agree with Ryan. I'm going with Iowa State. I think Jaquan Bailey and that Iowa State defensive line can cause some issues for what still could be a questionable Oklahoma State offensive line. Need to see them more. And yes, Oklahoma State's defense has been really good, so they're definitely much improved, but they've played, what, Tulsa and West Virginia and Kansas, some pretty
I'm weak fully offense. Aware.
No, I know, but they're good, but let's just see how they do up against against Brock Purdy and Breece Hall. So I think it'll be a close game, and for that reason, I'm taking 3.5 points. I'm actually going to make Iowa State my lock.
Yeah, you're Iowa State, so
I'm all in.
There you are. Yeah.
Okay, Penn State. What's that?
You didn't budge even after week one. A little bit, but not.
maybe a little bit, but yeah, we can forget about that.
Yeah,
Penn State -6 at Indiana. Trey.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see the Hoosiers with Michael Penix. He's shown great flashes of brilliance, but has been injury riddled in his career. And apparently he put on about 20 pounds this offseason, hopefully.
Oh, that's too much.
but more importantly, I'm curious to see this offense without offensive coordinator DeBoer, who went off to Fresno State. And I just want to see if the offense has a drop off, if how much of an impact he really had, because we saw how much he meant when he came there. I just feel right now there's a few more question marks with the Hoosiers than there are Penn State going into the year. Sean Clifford last year was able to beat Indiana with his legs, and they're going to need it since we just found out recently that Journey Brown is probably going to be out for the year. I'm expecting a little bit of an improved Clifford, not saying he's going to take this giant leap, but I think he'll be a little bit better this season. And then the defense, even without Micah Parsons, the Nittany Lions are still going to have one of the better defenses in the Big Ten. I think they're just going to be able to outman Indiana and get the win here.
Yeah, I agree. I would have been on Indiana at +9. That was the opening line at Circus Sports.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a big change going through the 7. So I will take Penn State -6. They're a borderline top 5 team. Really good defense, like you said. Interested to see their offense with Kirk Shiraka coming in Minnesota as the offensive coordinator. And like you say, on the other side, I'm not as confident in Indiana's offensive coordinator. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I mean, we'll see what Nick Sheridan does. He's just kind of an unknown.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm agreeing with you guys. I'm taking Penn State here. I thought one of you guys, or maybe both of you guys, would take Indiana, but I'm not very high on Penix yet. He played in 6 games last year. They did go 5-1 of those games, but 3 of those wins were against the 3 worst teams in the conference. So Maryland, Rutgers, and Northwestern, That was, you know, the three worst teams by far. And the other two wins were against Eastern Illinois and Ball State. And the one game that they lost was at a Michigan State. So, and his stats were good, but they were not great. He didn't have great stats, and he was playing against stats. They were not that
pretty dang good.
Good, not great.
Okay.
Yeah, they were not great.
I don't know. I don't know how much, like, do you think they would have been better the whole season or worse the whole season, I guess? Are you saying that?
I thought Peyton Ramsey was better.
I love Peyton Ramsey, but I just don't know how much worse they would have been with Penix. It'd be a fascinating
thing. Peyton Ramsey's every bit as good as, I mean, I think Penix is every bit as good.
I don't think there's a huge difference maybe between them. I think Ramsey's a little better, but I'm not saying it's a drastic difference.
Yeah.
But like last year, Indiana's best win was at Nebraska, and that was when Nebraska was out there starting quarterback. So that was their most impressive win of the year. So for Penix to go and beat Penn State, top five team, I mean, that would be by far the best win they've had in the last, you know,
They don't need to win. They did. They covered last year probably against Penn State. I know it was a close game.
Yeah, true. Fair enough. But this is a different. Yeah, I still think to keep it within 6 points is a lot. So
no, I get it. Think
Penn State will win by touchdown or more.
Okay, I guess we all agree on that. We all take Penn State.
Yeah.
Iowa -3 at Purdue. I like both of these teams this year. I think Spencer Petras for Iowa, I said in our Big Ten preview episode, which, by the way, go listen to that. We just recorded it last week. I said he's got a really good supporting cast, good receiving core. And the defense, of course, is always solid. So if he's as good as Nathan Stanley, then I think Iowa's going to have a really good year. But I just love Purdue with hopefully a healthy team this year. I think they're going to be hugely improved. Rondell Moore and David Bell, the two receivers on offense, I think will cause problems for an Iowa secondary that I'm sure is still going to be good, but maybe not as good as last year. They lost a couple guys to the NFL. So +3 with Purdue for me.
I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to take Iowa here. I just trust them in kind of those close games. I saw a stat. Did you guys see that stat on Twitter about Iowa and games that where they were favored by less than a touchdown? They had won like something like 6 in a row or some stat where it was just like they always seem to win those games where they're slightly favored. I think they're going to get it done here. I'm not super high on them throughout the whole year, but they're just solid. Their offense is going to be pretty darn good. I don't think the loss of Nathan Stanley is really that much of a loss. They seem to plug and play their quarterbacks pretty well. But Michael said the weapons there, they have some actually legit weapons at wide receiver coming back. That's going to be kind of key for them. And I know the defense lost a lot. They lost like 5, I think, out of their top 6 Havoc players. So they lost playmakers from that team, not just guys that, you know, were there. But again, it's a defense that just never seems to drop off all that much, no matter how or who they lose. So still got some solid players. And I trust them to just keep it solid. So I'll take Iowa and Purdue. It's who knows? As soon as they hired Bob Diaco as their defensive coordinator, all of a sudden I got a lot lower on Purdue. So,
yeah. Yeah. My initial reaction to this spread was to take Iowa, but, and you know, their defense should be strong. They have a pretty good offensive line. But I still don't know what to expect out of Petras and the whole offense in general. And I'm kind of, it's a little bit of blind faith because I'm pretty optimistic on Purdue this year. I think they're going to bounce back and from their poor season a year ago. And it's tough, even though there's no fans, they got to go on the road for their first game. So I'm just going to take the home underdog with the fun Purdue offense.
Okay. And by the way, there's what, 5 to 6 players for Purdue that may be out.
Brom mentioned that there'd be 5 to 6 players out, and we don't know who yet. He wouldn't disclose that.
Maybe
so.
A big time playmaker.
If there was a big one, then that would move this line.
Yeah, oh yeah, no doubt.
All right, game day is going to Minnesota for Michigan at Minnesota, and the Wolverines are favored 3. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, this is should be a good one here. Right now, I'm gonna go with Michigan though. I think they still are going to have a little more talent overall. I'm not super high on them all, obviously, but I do think the offense will be at least decent. Like Michael kind of made the argument earlier, it's second year, same system. Even if you did lose some guys, at least this consistency of the system is there, which could make a difference. And I don't know, hopefully Joe Milton can at least provide some pop, you know, with this. He does have quite a bit of arm talent there, but of course losing Nico Collins is not going to help. So that does hurt, but their defense, I trust Don Brown. I think their defense is still going to be really good. Even though they did lose playmakers there too, but their D is always good with Don Brown. And Minnesota, it's more of me. I don't trust their defense at all after losing so many key playmakers that they had, like Antoine Winfield Jr. I can't get over that guy. He was amazing for him last year. So, and some pass rushers. They're going to have a brand new defensive line that they're going to have to work in. So I think Michigan will be able to find some success on the ground and kind of control the game here. So I'll take Michigan.
It's going to be chilly. I saw the high is like 32, but this game's at night, so it's going to be even colder. I believe the winner of this game is going to come from the matchup of Michigan's offense versus Minnesota's defense, like you just kind of alluded to, Ryan. You know, I don't know if Milton can take the reins and take the next step for Gattis's, or I just feel like that offense last year was stuck in the mud. It's felt like so much. It was very difficult. It looked like it was really hard for them to move the ball at times. It did improve a little bit towards the end of the year. So, I mean, I'm hoping it would be fun to watch a good Michigan offense. So maybe Milton's the guy. It's a little bit of a question mark for me. And then, like you said, for Minnesota's defense, they do have some playmakers to replace. So we'll see how that comes into play. But with Michigan's offense, more of an unknown to me, I'm going to rely on the good Gopher offense because I really trust Morgan and Bateman. I think they row their boat to a win, and I'm actually going to make them my lock of the week.
Yeah, I can see why. Like, I definitely, let's say, wouldn't bet this game myself, but I am going to go with Michigan here on the podcast because I don't know, it's just a tough one to pick. But as much crap as Jim Harbaugh gets, he does have a pretty dang good record in games he's supposed to win, games where he has a lot more talent than his opponent. So even though major questions about that offense and whether Milton can be, you know, efficient throwing the ball, like you, Ryan, I have maybe even bigger questions about the Minnesota defense, 125th in returning production. So I'll just kind of bank on the consistency of the Michigan program compared to the upstart Gophers.
Yep.
Last game we're all going to go through here is Cincinnati at SMU. SMU's favored 2.5, Trey.
Yeah, Cincinnati, they're another team here that they're going to have 3 weeks off going into this game. But I trust their defense. It travels. I'm going to take the Bearcats. I know Ritter has been, you could say, Ritter-keeled. But this is a big game for it's a big game for him because SMU, pretty average defense. So he's going to need to take advantage, and I think he will. On the other side, the Mustangs, they haven't faced a defense as good as Cincinnati's. SMU last week, they needed overtime to beat Tulane. They're now without, of course, leading receiver Reggie Robertson and tailback TJ McDaniel. I think Cincinnati is going to be able to generate more stops than SMU, and they're going to get the win.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm taking Cincinnati. I just think they're a little bit better than SMU, and this point spread is implying that they're about equal, especially with, like you said, at some point, the Reggie Robertson losing him, like, this is a type of game where that's going to really cost you because Cincinnati has such a good defense that you need all the weapons you can get. So I think Cincinnati will maybe win on the road here.
I'm going to disagree. I will
you
take
love
SMU.
Your SMU.
I don't like SMU,
horse,
man.
Ryan, the dark horse SMU, huh?
Yeah, they're undefeated. They're 5-0. They beat Memphis already.
I mean, their logo is a dark horse, so that's kind of why we...
And
is it?
Okay.
It's a red horse.
Oh, it's red Mustang. Okay, I couldn't picture in my head the color of the horse in the logo.
That's true. Yeah, no, but Cincinnati, I don't necessarily trust their offense. I know they have a good defense, but I trust Shane Bechel to move the ball, even against a good defense like Cincinnati, where last week, what, USF, they scored, I'm sorry, Cincinnati scored like 28 points against USF. They only put up 24 against Army. I just don't think they have enough on offense to, you know, maybe make up for the fact that their defense is so good. So I trust SMU to move the ball. And it's kind of like a battle of, so when you have Cincinnati's offense going against SMU's defense, what's that going to look like? I mean, if SMU can just withhold this kind of steady defense a little bit without giving up the big play, I think they'll be fine. So I'm going to take them -2.5.
Okay. Let's get to the honorable mentions.
All right. Let's do it. All right, we got Illinois at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's currently favored 19. This game is on Friday night, kicking off the Big Ten. Revenge game for the Badgers after their shocking loss in Champaign last year. I'm thinking the Badgers, though, are going to flex their muscle, particularly with Jim Leonard's defense. They're very good. Last year, Illinois' defense was somewhat of a strength, and I don't think it will be this year. They had some turnover margin luck, and that usually bounces back. And for the Badgers, Graham Mertz, he has the higher upside compared to Jack Cohn. And honestly, with the system the Badgers have, even if Mertz is a lesser Cohn, it shouldn't really impact this game, in my opinion. Louisiana is a 2.5-point favorite at UAB. This game is also on Friday night. I'm going to take the home dog Blazers here. Every week, we keep waiting for Louisiana to bust out, but they continue to play to their opponent's level. The last three games have been decided by three or less. Levi Lewis, only 5 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, and they're going up against perhaps the conference's best defense. So I think Lucero and Spencer Brown will generate enough offense and lead the Blazers to the win. Baylor is playing at Texas. Texas is given 9. Baylor is playing only their third game this year due to multiple cancellations, of course. So we still don't know a ton about them. I'm not in love with Baylor this year, but I am going to back them in this one. The main reason is Texas's defense has proven to give up yards both on the ground or through the air. So Charlie Brewer might not exactly light it up, but I think he's going to be able to generate enough offense to keep it within the points here. And Aranda's defense might be able to generate a few stops on that good Longhorn offense. Then I got a couple Big Ten games here. Maryland at Northwestern. Northwestern's given 11 right now. Their offense can only get better, especially with Peyton Ramsey leading. But the question is, how much can it improve? Or can it improve? Luckily for them, the Terps had the worst Big Ten defense last year. They're more veteran this season, so they might improve at least a touch. The offense needs to hum for them to have any success. Loxley won't say if it's Lejean or Tua's brother Talia. Either way, Northwestern's going to win, but I'm not ready to give 11 points with them until I see them prove it. And then finally, the Bros. Nebraska is playing at Ohio State.
Ugh.
Ohio State's given 26. Only a handful of times in our life where Nebraska goes into a game with about no shot.
Yeah.
Some of the power rating numbers would make me lean to Nebraska at this spread, but I'm going to go with what I've seen with the Huskers recently. I think Ohio State rolls and covers. Last year, the Bros, we saw them in person against the Buckeyes, and they just annihilated Nebraska. Frost team, there's not much on defense to be excited about that I don't see that how they could slow down Justin Fields and that offense. The offense for the Huskers, it should improve, but there are already question marks about the receivers. I'm just not seeing how they'll have any success against the Buckeyes defense there too, even though that's a new unit. So I'm picking the Buckeyes.
That's rough. Well, hopefully the Huskers will surprise us, guys.
If they cover, right, man, I'll be
all right. I'll take a cover right now.
Okay. Auburn -3.5 at Ole Miss. I think both teams here are coming off of misleading losses. Auburn outgained South Carolina by 32% in terms of yards per play, according to Bud Elliott last week. And Ole Miss somehow nearly came back against Arkansas despite their 7 turnovers. So that's kind of a glass half full. If they didn't turn it over so much, maybe they would have won. I do think Tank Bigsby, the freshman running back for Auburn, is going to have a big day on the ground. But I like Matt Corral to bounce back and keep this game close.
He's bounced back in a big way.
He does, yeah. But he was great. He was like a Heisman level.
I was so crazy. One week to the next. What the heck happened?
No idea. OU -6.5 at TCU. I think Oklahoma's offense is just going to get better and better throughout the season with all the young skill talent they have. We'll see if Max Duggan and TCU can keep up against a weak OU defense. It's certainly possible, but I'm going to bet on Lincoln Riley coming off a bye to have Spencer Rattler ready to play. Rutgers at Michigan State. Michigan State's favorite 13.5. I just don't feel comfortable laying that many points with an offense that I think is going to be pretty bad. So many coaching changes on both teams, staffs, uncertainty as to who's going to start at quarterback for either team.
Yeah.
So I just think it's going to be an ugly, low-scoring game, and that means I'm taking +13.5. Virginia at Miami. Miami's favored 12.5. Virginia's been a disappointment this season. Quarterback play has been bad. Brennan Armstrong is injured right now. Might be out again with, I think, concussion. And they played 3 guys, Virginia did, last week at quarterback. They didn't even have Keaton Thompson attempt to pass. So clearly they don't have the confidence in him there.
Well, that's a smart move.
Okay, but anyway, and their defense hasn't been very good either. So I like De'Aaron King and Miami to win and cover. FAU at Marshall, Marshall's favored 17. If they win this, they are almost a lock to win Conference USA East. And they're a huge favorite in this game, unfortunately, in large part because Florida Atlantic has just been having major COVID issues. We're not even sure if this game's going to go off. It's they're still waiting on their final.
Marshall's good, man. Marshall's good.
Marshall is good. Grant Wells is another freshman quarterback that's been.
It's their defense, though, that's really been good. Impressing me.
No, Grant Wells, too, Ryan. Let me just get some credit. I watched him after week one. I'm like, that guy's good. And then the next week, he kind of sucked. I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
Now he's looking good.
It's the supporting cast. He's got a good one.
Yeah. All right, Ryan.
All right.
Your turn.
My first game, I have Florida State at Louisville. Louisville's favored 5. This one, we'll see what happens. Louisville did have kind of a heartbreaking loss at Notre Dame. They were right there. So they're looking good off, of course, FSU's coming off that huge win against North Carolina. I think both teams will just kind of go in opposite directions this week, or they did last week. I don't think, you know, Louisville is going to build off of that. I think Florida State got a little bit of a head start there against North Carolina, kind of rode the big wave that they had at the beginning, and Jordan Travis kind of surprised them a little bit, but I don't think Travis can threaten through the air enough. So I like Louisville minus the 5 points. Syracuse at Clemson.
Wow. Oh boy.
46 is the point spread here.
Unbelievable.
I mean, wow. I know Clemson won by 66 last week against a team that's probably better than Syracuse. But golly gee, 46 is a lot of points. So I'm going to take 46. I'll take the Q's.
Yeah, I can't lay that.
I am not going to lay 46, man. I mean, I'll be good for at least a half, I would think, right? I'll be
fine. Yeah, you're going to be covering for a lot of it, at least. I mean,
yeah, 7-6 touchdowns in, I'm still good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll take the Q's there. Maybe they can just kneel and punt, and then we'll be close. Right? Anyways, it doesn't matter who plays quarterback for Syracuse. Just hand it off. Anyways, all right, let's move on to the next one. Virginia Tech's favorite 9 at Demon Deacons at the Wake Forest. Fuente finally listened to everybody yelling through their TV screens, like, just stay with Hooker. What are you doing? And look what happened. They dominated a BC team, a pretty decent Boston College team, and Hooker had 164 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns. He is just, they're so much better. I mean, it's no debate. They're so much better with him and over Burmeister. So I'm not sure what the deal was there. Maybe there's something we don't know, but I'm going to take the Hokies here. They're looking good. I don't think Wake will be able to quite keep up, even though they will. Wake will put up some points, just not enough. Fourth game, I got South Carolina at LSU. LSU's favored 6. Big SEC game here, actually. South Carolina comes in winning 2 in a row after beating Auburn last week. Meanwhile, LSU hasn't played since their heartbreaking loss at Missouri a couple weeks ago. They had a cancellation of their game or postponement of their game last week. But I'm going to take the points with South Carolina here. I think these teams are pretty much even. Honestly, I don't see a lot of separation between them. And actually, they both beat Vanderbilt 41-7, the exact same score. So there you go. They're dead even.
Yeah. And did you mention LSU at quarterback is going with, they're not going with the freshman, Max Johnson, right, is his name. They're going with TJ Finley, I believe.
Yeah. Miles Brennan's out.
Miles Brennan's out, yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And I like Colin Hill for South Carolina. He's been solid, so Give me the Gamecocks. And finally, we got a late night game here, guys. We got Utah State going to Boise State. The Broncos are favored 16.5. Looks like the Utah transfer, Jason Shelley, will get the nod at quarterback for Utah State. But that's not the greatest sign. I don't think he's very good. Not the best passer. He can run a little bit, but not the best passer. So I think Boise's defense is going to handle him just fine. And Hank Bachmeier coming back for his sophomore year after a very, very good freshman year. I think the Boise will win big.
All right. Let's close out this episode.
Oh, and by the way, sorry, Boise was my lock. I forgot to mention.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Sorry. Just got to squeak that in there.
Yeah. You waited till the very last second.
Yeah, I was like, oh, crap. No, they were my lock. I think Boise's going to dominate.
Now, finally, let's close out the episode with a questionable finish. Kellen Mond threw a crazy pick six on a pass that went 15 yards forward, bounced off his receiver, and went 15 yards backward to a Mississippi State player. Name a memorable unlucky bounce.
Yeah, I'll start with it was Auburn at Georgia. What was that, like 6 years ago? or seven years ago, maybe now.
The prayer at Jordan Hare.
Exactly. The prayer at Jordan Hare just bounced off the receiver. That one was, I just remember the picture of the Georgia guy just like, you know, he like falls down.
Unbelievable.
He's like, and just like his legs give out. He's like, you got to be kidding me.
Crazy. Unbelievable. I'm surprised. Go ahead, Mike. No, go ahead.
I'm going with a play that another play that involved Mississippi State. It was Louisiana Tech a few years ago. Fumbled the snap, and everyone is trying to pick it up, but it keeps bouncing. It gets
the third and goal from their own five or something.
Yeah, ends up being an 87-yard loss. Yeah. So that was quite a few memorable bounces there.
Yeah. I was thinking you guys would talk about, if you're a Missouri fan, the unlucky Nebraska bounce in 97. They had Nebraska, number one Nebraska beat, and they didn't. There's also that Falcons, the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Edelman had a really lucky catch in their comeback.
Yeah, he barely kept it off the ground, kind of fighting over people.
Yeah, if the Falcons intercepted, it was game over.
But. Yep.
All right, name something as likely as Syracuse winning outright at Clemson this weekend.
I think I've said this before, and I'll just say it again. The Jets winning the Super Bowl, like, that's just not going to The Jets are an absolute train wreck, dumpster fire, the worst thing in the NFL right now.
It sucks, because, like, you just didn't really get a feel for Darnold. Does he really, like, is he bad, or is he just, like, his team's just so bad he has no chance?
He gets thrown to the Wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of had a David Carr start to his career. Oh, yeah. So we're recording this during the presidential debate, and I think it's more likely that Twitter is currently full of productive and, you know, respectful discourse.
Yeah, I'm very, very respectful.
Absolutely.
I'd say it's probably about as likely as Trey getting a hole-in-one.
Oh my gosh.
That's rough.
Oh, wow, Ryan.
Come on, Ryan. There's a chance. There's a chance Syracuse wins. All right, wow.
I had to. That was too easy.
Yeah, wow.
Upset specials. We got to pick a 7+ point underdog to win outright. I had the Shants last weekend.
You stole that one early.
Yeah.
As soon as that comes out, boom, I got the Shants.
Taking out Louisiana. I'm going to take San Jose State this weekend to win as a home dog against Air Force. So I think their passing game can challenge Air Force. Their secondary is pretty questionable this year. And of course, Navy, their first game, wasn't able to challenge that. We'll see what San Jose State can do. They've got underrated receiving core, one of the best in the G5, and potentially Nick Starkle at quarterback. I actually kind of like him.
Nice. All right, I'm going to take, I mentioned earlier, Baylor getting 9 against Texas. The Bears defense might be able to get a few stops on that, on Ellinger and that Longhorns offense, and I just don't know the psyche of Texas after two losses, including the last game against their heartbreaker against OU. So I'll take a chance with Baylor.
Alrighty, I am gonna go with the Midshipmen. I'll take Navy. They're getting 14.5 against Houston. Houston's going to Navy. You just never know with Navy. They all of a sudden their offense,
who's gonna show up?
Yeah, you don't know. So it could be the one that plays BYU, or it could be one that looks a little bit better. So.
Against Tulane.
Come back against Tulane. Yeah, second
exactly.
Half against Tulane.
There you go. So yeah, no, I like Navy. They could do it. Who knows? It's their tough matchup always.
All right. Thanks for listening to the College Football Bros podcast. Remember, if you listen every week, if you want to support the show, it really does help us out if you either check out our sponsor, MyBookie, and use that promo code CFBros, or subscribe to our Patreon. For bonus episodes, you can do that at patreon.com/collegefootballbros. You can also join our Discord if you subscribe on Patreon, where we are talking football all week long. So thanks for considering those, and we will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the College Football Bros. If you have any questions for the next podcast, email them to collegefootballbros@gmail.com. To keep up with the brothers on social media, like them on Facebook at College Football Bros, follow them on Instagram at College Football Bros, and for their commentary on Saturdays, follow them on Twitter at CFB Bros. Thanks for listening.